You're listening to the Influencer Podcast, episode number 9. Last week's episode shared the secrets behind growing a YouTube following, how to build long-term relationships with brands, and how to build the right audience with blogger, YouTuber, and founder of Hello Gorgeous, Angela Lanter. This week's episode, we talked to founder of Fashion Mamas, Natalie Acalia, on how to balance motherhood and a career in online marketing and fashion.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. Each week, Julie Solomon, a marketing strategist and New York Times best-selling publicist, takes you behind the scenes with successful influencers, bloggers, and industry elites in conversation to share how they engage, persuade, and grow their unique influence. Her mission is to share exclusive insider tips, wisdom, and action-based tools to help you strengthen, monetize, and build your own industry-leading influence.
Hi, influencers, and welcome to this week's episode. I am really looking forward to chatting with today's guest, someone who really exudes what it's like to be an incredibly creative and inspiring working mom, Natalie Acalia. Natalie is the founder of Fashion Mamas, which is the first members-only network for influential mothers who work in fashion and creative industries. Fashion Mamas' goal is to connect women through industry and motherhood, and what started as 10 women has now turned into 400 members worldwide. Including chapters in LA, San Francisco, and New York City. Natalie is also a freelance fashion editor and the former senior editor of Racked LA. Her work has been featured in a variety of noteworthy publications, including Vogue, Elle, Refinery 29, Who What Wear, The Zoe Report, LA Magazine, and Black Book Magazine. Natalie is most importantly a mom to 2-year-old son Diego, and her family lives in LA. Biz Bash recently named Fashion Mama's Mama Mirage Palm Springs Party the first family-friendly Coachella event, and Red Tricycle named Natalie one of their power moms last year. She was also just featured in Levi's Mother's Day campaign for her work with Fashion Mamas. Through the network of Fashion Mamas, Natalie works with brands including Revolve, Lululemon, Moon Juice, Munchkin, Rose and Rex, Rebecca Minkoff, Kite Hill, and Lauderay, to name a few. And she connects these brands with her network of Fashion Mamas with the goal to influence more awareness, leadership, and creativity in the space. Natalie and her work have been featured tremendously throughout Chalkboard Magazine, Us Weekly, E! Online. And Natalie really, at the end of the day, is a mom's mom. She's a woman's woman and is always thinking of innovative ways to make her work and her influence the most inclusive and committed that it can be. So I'm so excited to have her on today. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. And I know that I kind of just name dropped and kind of did the whole spiel with the intro, but I would love if you could tell us a little bit about how Fashion Mamas started, you know, why it was founded, what your intention was with it, and really kind of what your purpose and your service is with it now that you are a few years into it.
Yeah, everything you said was just kind of like a walk down memory lane. I just can't believe it. So Fashion Mamas started when my son was 3 months old. I was a senior editor at the time, and I was diving into this whole new world. And I was wondering how I was going to be able to balance such a demanding career while also being a new mom. And instead of deciding, you know, do I have to pick between the two? I was like, you know what, I'm going to try to do this because there's definitely women before me in my specific industry that have made it happen. I first started it as an Instagram page, Instagram account, Fashion Mamas. And I started to kind of build the suspense, I guess, about with tagging women like that were perfect examples of a fashion mama. So, you know, like the Rachel Zoe, the Nicole Richie, like in our industry, being mothers, being themselves, doing all they can to maintain their own business identity, their personal identity, and their new identity as a mother. There were so many women in my industry that were mothers that I really felt that they should connect, and not only connect to gain support, but also to make magic between themselves. I think in a notoriously competitive industry such as fashion and other creative industries, it was great to kind of send a message that, you know, we're all doing something in this industry. We're all creating our own success, and imagine what we can do if we do it together and we support one another. So I started it, like you said, with just 10 members. And it did start with the Instagram, and the first actual IRL event was a brunch to welcome all of the 10 girls that I knew in the industry together. And I remember that day, my son was a little tiny thing and it was raining outside. And I just remember like, wow, these girls are just clicking instantly. And it has so much to do with their two levels of connection, industry and motherhood. And so I just remember just being there and saying, you know, welcome to Fashion Mamas. I don't know what's in store for us, but I so thank you for your support. I thought it was going to be kind of a monthly event where some of my girlfriends and kind of we open our inner circle a little bit more, connect. And swiftly after that, more girls wanted to kind of join our circle in the industry and connect on those two levels, motherhood and industry. I started to have more events. I opened an application form on our website. You know, being a millennial, I took that domain right away. I just started to get all the social media account names. And I just knew it's one of those things because I've always been a fashion editor. I've always written for an outlet. And I always wondered what it would feel like when you find your calling and if it really is a universal force. And it really was for me. So many things were happening, having a kid at the, he was 3 months old. I didn't know what I was doing yet. And I was going through a lot. I was in my third bout of mastitis at the time. So I was in a lot of pain as well. And I was just overwhelmed by everything. But again, that force, the universe was kind of calling to me saying, do this. Girl, women want to connect and we want you to be the one to connect them. And so everything started to fall into place. And I guess here we are.
And I want to touch on a little moment. I love what you said about the universal force. And I would love if you could kind of dive deep a little bit into that for a moment for, you know, moms or female entrepreneurs that are listening. How, you know, what did that kind of look like for you? Like when you say that universal force, you know, how did you know that that feeling or that that thing was the right thing? Were there signs? Were there little, you know, nuggets that kind of came to you that you were like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing as a working mother?
There was this quote that I heard from Jessica Alba once, and she said, that thing that keeps you up at 3 a.m., listen to that. And that really struck me because it was one of those things like, I need so much, you know, all you want to do is sleep when you have an infant. You just need the sleep. You yearn for it. But I was so energetic and so excited about this concept. And at the time, there wasn't anything like it. It was, a community for modern mothers, a community for the cool, stylish woman that is in claiming her career and claiming her future. There wasn't really a community connecting those women and creating content around those women. And so I felt that there was a void that I was filling. And as far as the universal connection, it really was a thing that kept me up at night. I kept thinking about it, kept thinking of new ideas. Being an editor and also producing a lot of our events at Racked LA, I'm very passionate about events as well. So I kept thinking of new ways to kind of reward these women trying to make it happen for themselves. And it just got me so excited. And it really did give me a new purpose and a new life. And it was just a perfect time when you kind of feel lost in this new, you know, this new phase in your life of motherhood. It's one of those things, like, without sounding too mystical and existential, but it really was one of those things that I would wake up, I would dream about it. I had the logo in my head, and I will spare you the original logo. It was super low budget. but it was like, it was one of those things, you know, when you start anything, it's just you and your idea. And it starts very organic, very makeshift. And even with the lowest, even with zero support, the concept of it alone was powerful enough to really resonate with women. And to see women, you know, we're only 25 members in or something, like when we, you know, in our first few months, even hearing women say, you know, before Fashion Mamas, I would have been really scared to be, you know, I would have been wondering what the future holds as a new mother. But now that Fashion Mamas is here, I'm excited to join this cool group. Oh, you know, and it means something to anyone. Like, everyone has their own purpose for being in Fashion Mamas, but to know that there's something to get excited about, it meant a lot to me. So I felt, it's really interesting because, like I was saying, that force, that feeling, it can be scary too, because you're like, oh, a lot of work is going to come with this new concept, and there's going to be trial and error. And you can jump and you can see how it goes. You can see if you land on your feet or if there's like you have to veer to make it, make your way through. Or you can step back and say, no, I'll just wait till someone else creates it. Totally. I'm telling you, it's really good when you become the one to do it.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, people that tend to follow their fear or what, you know, that thing that kind of keeps you up at night that won't leave you alone. I think it, you know, even if it starts out as like this still small voice, I think that it will just continue to get louder and louder and louder until you can't really avoid it anymore. So I love the fact that you notice that and that you are mindful of that and aware of that and really follow that and really allowed for this amazing community of moms that, you know, I get to be a part of. And that's, you know, the beautiful thing. One of the beautiful things I do love about Fashion Mamas is the connection that it builds, the community that it builds, the relationships that it builds through other like-minded mamas. And I think that one of the things that, you know, the people in Fashion Mamas can expect is that relationship. And then from that can come not only friendships and, you know, friendships between your children and friendships between your families, but also from a business standpoint, a lot of great partnerships that go into play and businesses that get started just from people meeting each other in this space. So I would love if you could share with us as well, what could a new member potentially expect when they join Fashion Mamas in terms of the, you know, relationship building, the promotions, the partnerships and things like that?
One of the things that has really impressed me and surprised me and satisfied me was through our Facebook group. There's a million Facebook groups on Facebook, and you know, it's a great way to connect with people. I love that our Facebook group it's a secret Facebook group for just members, and it's taken on its own life. Hundreds of members communicate there. And my favorite thing about it is that, like I said, a notoriously competitive industry, secretive industry, these women share their resources quickly. Once you're in the circle, the women just feel that, you know, we're all sisters. So anyone can say, you know, does anyone have a contact for Celine? Does anyone have a new favorite manufacturer? Because I'm thinking of starting my own clothing line. And these women are so quick to share the wealth and support each other. And in turn, like you said, it's created businesses. These women, some of the designers round up and create sample sales together, exclusively just all made up of Fashion Mamas. Recently, we had one of our members had a kids fashion show, and it was the DJ was one of our members. The producer of the event was one of our members. The backstage photographer was one of our members. The designer was one of our members. And then the star of the fashion show was. So it was it's so cool to see these women just like the best part of connecting in two ways is that you know that you can make magic together, as opposed to, you know, mothers in any field. When you're targeted this way, these women know that all of them can become inspired by one another. So definitely our secret Facebook group has been such a benefit for our members, they tell me. And also our events are great FaceTime with these like-minded women. I personally love being there to get to know our girls. I love seeing that once a new girl is in the group, she kind of just, you know, she comes in shy, but our girls just scoop her up and make her their own. And I see phone numbers exchanged. I see girls hanging out together without the group, like just having their own play dates. And it's really great because it's the ultimate icebreaker. Once you become a member, that's it. You're in.
It's very, very true. And it is one of the inspiring things, especially being a mom in such a big city like LA, that you can feel you get so lost in the shuffle. To have kind of that core is always something that I think we members truly value.
My friends, have you ever thought that you have done the hard part? You have started your business and you have taken that leap from belief into really stepping out and claiming a vision for yourself. But you know that if you want to make money doing what you love, you need other support. You need to grow. You need to scale. You need a marketing strategy. You need a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, I talk so much about these things, right? Like how to identify your target audience, where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're really making the most out of your budget. And of course, how to use things like data to set goals. But there's another great podcast that I love out there that also talks about this stuff. And it's called This Is Small Business. This Is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business or you're looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, This Is Small Business is going to give you the practical tips that you can start using today. And I know that if you love these topics on my podcast, you're going to love them on this one too. Make sure to follow This Is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss these fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show. My friends, as creators, we work so hard creating our content. So we don't want to leave it up to things like an algorithm to determine how successful our online brands and businesses can be. And that is why I love Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs like myself build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. And I know they can help you too. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, your passions, your experiences into enriching offers like online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, communities, personalized coaching, and so much more. What I love about Kajabi is that not only does it make it super easy to use, but they don't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. You don't need a huge audience to make a sustainable income online. I talk about that all the time here on the podcast. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making 6 and 7 figures without having hundreds of thousands of followers, and you can too. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business. Go to kajabi.com/influencer. That's kajabi.com/influencer. Go to kajabi.com/influencer and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
And I want to talk about challenges for a moment. You know, being a mom, being an influencer, being a business owner, what do you find are the biggest challenges that you see mothers who are in this influence space face on a daily basis?
I would say competitiveness, comparison, getting lost in that game, just seeing what the other person is doing, counting your followers, counting how many likes you get, seeing that someone else's activation is different from yours. Maybe you should do what they did. You can get very lost in that. I always say that competition is the death of creativity. When you obsess over that, you lose that organic instinct that where the magic happens, where you can create your own path. I've made it a point to always, you know, I believe in keeping your head down and just letting, working hard quietly and letting your success be your noise. That's really important to me because if you, like I said, if you do get lost in that, who are you? What is your individual offering to the world? And so I think that a lot of influencers, they get caught up in that. And it's, I have a lot of friends. I grew up in LA, so this is where all the top bloggers live. I have a lot of friends that are in that space, and they, you know, I see them very stressed or frustrated that so-and-so has more followers or so-and-so gets more deals. And I think, you know, in the, especially in the age of the micro influencer, where it's more about the engagement and who you are and your individual branding, I feel that everyone has something to offer. Just make sure that you have your own unique voice and stick to it, because that's really what brands are looking for in any business. And, you know, brand partnerships can be, you can be a blogger, you can be a community like mine, you can be an individual, you know, and I think that covers influencers overall, which is who you showcase. But, yeah, I think that that is one of the biggest challenges. And then, of course, the also spreading the word can be hard at the very beginning. Like, how do you share that, especially if you don't have dollars behind like a publicist? So that's when social media comes in, and that's a free tool that anyone has access to. And as long as you have a consistent branding, consistent voice, you can start gaining, revving up buzz. And so I think that that's one thing that's right there waiting for a lot of brands. And I see that it falls through the cracks when they don't put a lot of focus on their social media.
I completely agree. And I loved what you said about, you know, the different types of influencer someone can be, because I think a lot of times, you know, there's people out there that think that you have to be a blogger or that you have to be an Instagram star or what have you. But what essentially you're saying is, you know, you can be a community like Fashion Mamas, you can be a micro influencer, you can be an individual who doesn't have a blog, you can be a YouTuber. There's kind of different ways that kind of fall under that umbrella. And I would love, because you have such a unique approach to the industry of influence and to the idea of influencer marketing, that you have essentially kind of created this community and you're able to drive that influence through that community. The trends that you were talking about a little bit earlier had to deal with micro influencers, and I would love to get your take on them and exactly who they are. If there's someone out there saying, like, I don't even know what a micro influencer is, who that person is and how they're going to kind of shape the world of influencer marketing and how they shape communities like yours that you have with Fashion Mamas.
I'm obsessed with micro influencers. First of all, I love the influencer that has a small but mighty community, a growing community. It's all about engagement. So let's say you don't have 100,000 followers, but you have 10,000 of the most diehard followers. And to me, what matters is the content. And that could be, you know, I could be talking about a blogger. I could be talking about a business that has an Instagram account. A micro influencer to me is someone that is passionate about their content and their followers are equally passionate about what that brand is putting out there. So engagement is everything. I see that micro influencers are also, they build a relationship with their community. They're building, essentially all of these micro influencers are building their own communities themselves. That's the whole point. So to see micro influencers, they understand that with their growing, and to catch an influencer at that time while they're budding is beautiful, because they're open to collaboration. They are in reach. They're accessible. They speak to more people. Their audience is more broad. And with that, brands and communities like me, when I work with an influencer, our girls are made up of influencers. When brands work with them, they know that they're getting someone that's genuine. They know that they're getting someone that is, is working hard for it, is passionate about building. And not to say that the big stars, the big names aren't doing that. They very much are. But the growing influencer is more accessible. Is just like when I was an editor, I loved working with independent designers over big box brands, because I can see their hard work put into it. I feel that I'm talking directly to that designer as opposed to their agent. And it's so raw and so real. And to me, my big thing is, I think the future of every industry right now is niche. Being targeted, You know, broad is important, and it's, and, you know, reaching a huge audience, you can do that and still be niche. Having a specific message and voice is everything, in my opinion, right now. And I feel that indie designers, micro influencers, they're all doing that because they're all, you know, they're all trying to make it in their own individual way, as opposed to kind of what's worked for the big name. They are trying to create their own path, and we love catching them in that special moment because it's kind of amazing to see them blossom, I guess.
Yeah, totally. And I completely agree with you, because you do, you'll find some of those out there that you're like, oh, they're in that sweet spot, you know, and they're like really about to shine. And what are, who are some microbloggers out there, whether they're in your community or that you've just seen, that you really think are hitting the mark, that you're like, oh, this microblogger is killing it? Do you have any examples that you can share?
What's funny is right now, as you say that, I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking of all of our members because there's so many of them. There's a blogger named Lucky Penny Blog. Anna Fritsch, she's a Fashion Mamas, she's our Fashion Mamas New York brand ambassador. And she's, I love her individual content. It feels so raw, feels and so family driven, and it has her own, like when I look on her Instagram page, it just looks like a beautiful story that's consistent. Mm. And there's so many girls out there. She just came to my mind, and she has 12,000 followers, and that's very impressive, but that's a perfect example. I noticed that brands want to work with her. We've worked with her directly through Fashion Mamas and some brand integration with a previous partner. And she delivers, she's consistent, she's professional. And I love that. Like, they understand that this is a business at the end of the day. No one is sending you free things just, you know, out of the kindness of their heart. Of course, you know, at the end of the day, it is, you know, it's all kind, it's all good. You should be a kind person when you work. But being a professional, you know, following through with deadlines is everything, and we never forget it.
It's very true. And I think that the more that these bloggers, influencers start to treat their brand as a business, the more they're going to be seen as a business. And I think that that's a very important takeaway. It just really helps to make this industry accountable and valued at the end of the day. I would love to switch gears a little bit to talk about being a mom in any space, just being a working, consistently working mom, especially in this industry. How do you think being a mom gives you a one-up in this industry, if it does? Because you would think, okay, I don't have as much time, or do I? Like, how did your career change? Obviously, you founded Fashion Mamas. So do you feel that being a mother has opened up new doors that you don't think would have ever opened if you wouldn't have been a mom at that time?
Absolutely. I noticed, even when I was pregnant, when I started to show off my baby bump, I started to hashtag style the bump. Within a few days, even, I noticed that my following increased. I noticed that people really appreciated me telling the story. It was like, it was my life prior to being a mother was, you know, the fashion editor, traveling around, going to really cool parties. And that's all very fun. And I actually continue to do that. But my following really loved the switch in, you know, the new phase. It was new content. So not only did my followers, I'm so thankful for that they stuck around and they, you know, they accepted the new phase, but I gained a whole new set of followers that were like, oh, now I'm touching the mom space. And right now, more than ever, I really feel that the mom space is having a huge moment. Mother content, mother-related influencers, mother-related brands, they're all having a huge moment right now. And I think that it diversified my audience. It made, you know, my fashion crew still stuck around, but now I have this mom crew. And then in the middle with Fashion Mom, we're merging the two. So it's been a great space to be in. And we, you know, what's fun is there's so many different niches and so many different ways to go about motherhood. And finding your way in that world, it's great because the thing that differentiates the mom influencer, a mother, as opposed to anyone else, is that, I don't know, there's a sense of compassion. There's a sense of it's a personal story because motherhood is family. And it's really, I don't know, when I think about motherhood content, mother content, it's very sweet. And it's very real and raw. And, you know, a portion of life that is inevitable for, you know, it's something that we all, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. It's something that we all expect or see what's coming in life. We've read stories, you know, mom and dad, and being the one to tell that story in our own unique modern way is really exciting and fun. And I just think that so many brands understand that because the mom in middle America, she wants to see what's happening in the major cities. She never wants to feel alone. And all of these mom influencers are there to tell her, you know, you're not alone. I'm doing it my way. You shine your way. And it's really beautiful to see. I think it's one of the most positive communities out there.
Do you think that a mom in the influencer space that has to work, you know, how these hours can be, if you're an influencer of any kind, it's not a set 9-to-5. It's not necessarily a desk job in a corporate environment. With that said, do you think that a mom can have it all? And what does it all mean to you?
So I've gotten a little bit of flack before for saying this, saying that, you know, Fashion Mama shines a light on mothers unapologetically want to have it all. And what I mean by that is having it all doesn't necessarily mean when you have a child and a job and a husband, that's considered having it all. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is having it all in your own way, whatever that means for you. For us, it's one of those things, you know, one of those things that they say, like, can you really have a job and have a kid? Can you have it all? So that's just like generalizing that this is our all, like doing it all. And we are unapologetically trying to make it all happen, trying to balance all of the balls in the air. I feel that like I said, the beautiful, the sweet side, the special moments, like all of that captured. Now, behind the scenes, the nitty-gritty, it's hard as hell. The hours are long. Sometimes you will have that conversation with your husband, your partner, about like, where do I fit in? Where do they fit in when you're talking about your job? And then you have to take care of your child. And then your partner needs to also feel that they are participating in the process. And it's a lot of work and it's a lot of hours. You will stretch your time more than you ever thought that you could once you become a mother but guess what? When you decided that this is the goal, like you're just passionate about your job, you'll be guided and those hours will stretch and you will be excited for it and stop anything you're doing that you're not excited about anymore. You know, it was interesting when I was an editor, a full-time editor, I absolutely loved it. I was the senior editor of Racked LA for 5 years. I absolutely loved it. When I had my son, I started to think about the time that I give to this full-time job. I want to make sure that I am 100% happy because it's time away from my son. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make you change your passions because I'll always be a writer. It makes you change your perspective of time management. So I was very much saying, okay, I've loved this. It's been a great run. Is this still what I want to do? And it's like having a child expedites the process of soul searching and kind of you get to the point faster because all you want to do is make sure that you are still allocating enough time to be a good mother, being a good wife, being a good partner. Yes, having a job that's demanding, you're going to sacrifice, what it takes to make sure that you can have 100% of all of it. And that's what I'm saying when you can have it all. I start my day at 5 a.m. and I work until my son wakes up at 6:30 a.m. and I work and work and work and I love it. And I can't wait to see what emails I receive. I know that I'm still loving this when I'm enjoying waking up to start the day working on, you know, accepting new members or creating new events. And then by the end of the day, I may open that laptop again. If I didn't have this other calling, I would end my day with, you know, putting the baby to sleep and then I go to sleep. But it really doesn't work that way. And all the mamas out there that are juggling their, you know, their demanding careers understand that it really never ends. Because our job, there's always something for us to do.
And that's such a good point too, because it really also stresses the kind of just the organic process of balance and how it kind of forces you to really make decisions that do balance out your life and your time more consistently and for the better, which is so important. And that goes into just me. I have to know, how do you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning? What time do you go to bed? Like, that's crazy to me in an amazing way. I'm like, I wish I could do that.
I go to bed around 10 a.m. 10 p.m. I've always been an early riser, even before my son. So that was just, I got lucky in that way that I'm like, okay, this isn't too much of a transition because I already wake up really, really early. But yeah, I try to, for 10 minutes before I touch my phone, meditate. And, you know, it's not the meditate very deeply meditate because I got to be real with myself and my brain is always on, but it's more like just quiet time in my mind, like quiet time sleeping and quiet time while you're fully aware of the world is totally different. So being able to, for some stillness, some breathing, some being like, you know, you got this, some affirmations in your mind before you open that laptop and or phone and see everything that's been going on for the last 12 hours or whatever, you know, okay, let's be real, like 5-6 hours, however long moms get to sleep. I just feel that it's my power hour, 5 a.m. It's funny because any brands that I work with, PR girls or even members, they know they can catch me around 5 a.m. and I might respond right away. They're like, this is when I have your undivided attention.
That's so true. And I think that a lot of times I've talked to a lot of moms that do that, that they're like, I have to get up when my home is quiet. And if that's 5 a.m., that's 5 a.m. And there's probably a lot that you actually do get done because you don't have any interruptions and you don't, you know, you're really able to probably focus down during that time and get what you need to get done before he does wake up. You're giving me a lot of encouragement to try that. So I think that the goal is just going to be to go to bed a little bit earlier. I would love to know what advice that you have for moms to be or new moms or just women who are thinking about becoming mothers soon, but they're also wanting to still quote unquote work outside of being a mom full time.
My number one advice always to, especially to friends even that are like, I just found out I'm pregnant or we're going to start trying. I'm so scared. My thing is the one thing never to wait for is the right time. When your job will never end, work will never stop and say, okay, you can start a family now. So, you know, work, everything will, the wheels will, the balls will continue spinning in the air. So if you're ready, you jump into it and it's figure it out. And everyone has their own way to get to their goal. If it means having those, you know, pulling all-nighters, if it means, you know, getting all of the support you need, getting two nannies, or if it means, you know, bringing in family to help, it can happen. You just need to have the drive to make it happen for yourself. And what's interesting, and a lot of mothers say this to me, is that you don't know your willpower. You don't know how efficient you can be until you become a mother. It's very interesting. I remember before my son was born, in the afternoon before my husband would come home from work, I always really enjoyed this like aimless drive. I would aimlessly drive listening to the latest album, or like, trust me, I was productive. I was busy, but I always spent that time to have my aimless drive around and just listen to my music. Like, I'm loving LA. And it's so funny because that, the amount of time that I would have spent on that aimless drive, I probably would have, now I complete like 10 projects in that time.
So true.
Yeah, you know, before Diego's awake, like, you know, finalizing 3 events and getting all the laundry done, making his food for the day, you know, folding like the laundry that has already come in, like getting a few other projects lined up. All of that happens and the sun hasn't even rose. And it's really, it's a crazy life. Like, you think and you look in the mirror and you're like, what is my life? Like, what is this? But the reward is far greater than anything. And I just really believe diving in and finding your way, finding support, having a supportive community of people around you, really make a difference and make you feel that you can keep going, because it can feel very lonely if you're in your own head and kind of like deciding between, you know, your next move. It can feel really lonely, but making sure to be, you know, be vocal, like say when you need help. That's something I have to learn. I'm very self-sufficient. I'm very controlling. I admit that. And I didn't ask for help for a long time. And once you know, I barely got an assistant recently. So it's just asking for that help. And in turn, you will grow faster. You will find more opportunities. It's very much, I'm going back to the universe. It's very much talking to the universe and putting out that energy out there and watching what that means and what comes back to you.
And one of the things that I think that Fashion Mamas does is remind you that you're not alone. You know, especially because there are, you know, you're a native LA, you know, born and bred here, but so many of us are transplants. And so when we do become moms and we don't have our families here and we don't have, you know, the friends that we've known since kindergarten here, we need to find that support group. And I think that Fashion Mamas has done, at least for me and for my other fellow mamas that are in the group, a really beautiful way of being that support for us. So I applaud you for creating that and bringing it to the table and manifesting it and allowing for us to be a part of it. And I would love to know if you could share with us what's coming up for Fashion Mamas this year or next year, some little nuggets that you can talk about.
Well, there's so many exciting projects coming up. If we're going chronological order, 2 weeks or so, we have our next, early June, we have our first kids fashion fair in San Francisco. And what our kids fashion fair is it's an outdoor marketplace or indoor marketplace that shines a light on independent kids brands. And many of those brands are owned by our Fashion Mamas members. And it's really fun because we've just curated a really cool collection of stylish kids brands. We noticed that kids fashion is also having a moment in social media and digital. And it's really beautiful to see so many designers putting effort into really modernizing and upgrading kids' clothing. So we have that coming up. And then we also, date is coming soon, but it's this summer. We are going to host our first ever Mamas Making It Summit. And what that is it's going to be a ticketed event in LA, and it's going to be an inside look at what we've been having in our intimate members only events. It's a Mamas Making It panel where we shine a light on mothers that are balancing successful careers with motherhood and providing insight and tools on how to make it happen for yourself. We are opening the floor to an incredible roster of influential women, and we want to share that with the community. And so for the first time, we're going to be opening this event to the public in a major way.
And I cannot wait for that. I am so excited. I know it's going to be fantastic. And I would love to know if there are moms out there who are interested in joining Fashion Mamas, or if there's brands that are interested in being part of the community. Where can they find you? Where can they find more information on Fashion Mamas? If they want to go to the summit, where should they be looking for that information?
So FashionMamas.com is their best bet for kind of the history behind this again and our application form. There's also a form there to contact me directly for any opportunities, any ideas they have in mind. And following our Instagram at Fashion Mamas is a great way to kind of stay in the loop of our upcoming public events. A lot of our events are members only, but we have, for this year, we have some really exciting public events set. So yeah, so fashionmamas.com and then at Fashion Mamas. And then if they want to see my personal journey, they can follow my Instagram at Natalie Alcala, NatalieAlcala. My last name trips me up sometimes. But yeah, those are the best three avenues to stay in touch with us.
Awesome. And I want to end this episode, like I end every episode, by asking you, what does influence mean to you?
Influence means impact, means having a personal, unique message, and creating your own path that can live on after you.
I love that. Oh, well, Natalie, thank you so much for joining us today. You really just are always such a wealth of knowledge, not only in this space of influence, but just a reassurance to all the moms out there, and a fantastic reminder of knowing that you can do it all and whatever that all is to you. So thank you so much for sharing your story and your amazing work. And I would love for you that are listening today to check out the show notes of this episode, where I lay out some of the most important takeaways that Natalie drove home for us today. And you can find those show notes, as always, at www.theinfluencerpodcast.com. Again, Natalie, thank you so much, and we will see you very soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Are you ready to create your own industry-leading influence? For show notes, downloads, and action-based tips, head to www.theinfluencerpodcast.com, where you can find out more about this week's episode, guest, and our host, Julie Solomon. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please take a minute to go to iTunes and leave a review so we can help other influencers like yourself build their own successful business.
When I say the words online business, what do you think of? Do you think of working when you want, from where you want, being your own boss, controlling your income, turning your passion into your profession? Well, when I hear the words online business, I can't help but to think of my dear friend, Amy Porterfield, and her incredible podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy. For 15 years, my friend Amy has taught dreamers, entrepreneurs, and online business owners like yourself how to start and scale an online business by authentically sharing what she's done in each stage of her $100 million business. Yes, 100 million. I mean, this girl literally wrote a New York Times bestselling book on how to leave your 9-to-5 job and start your online business from scratch. Twice a week, Amy will grace your headphones with actionable, inspirational episodes to help you get started, earn more, and serve more with an online business, even if you're starting from nada, zero. From simple strategies to grow your audience, to navigating self-doubt, and everything else that you need to growing an online business, nothing is off limits with Amy. That is what I love about her. She is no gatekeeper. So if you love the sound of being your own boss, controlling your income, and serving generously from an online business of your very own, then go subscribe to Online Marketing Made Easy right now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you love listening to. Let her know that I sent you.